Welcome back to one of my favorite sports podcasts, Prison the Grizz, with your host Trudo and my guy, Keith Frizzy Frizz.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Frizz and the Grizz. It's your host Trudo. Got a good show for you today. If you're joining us live Tuesday, March 26th, or next day on podcast, remember, help your boys out. Rate, subscribe, review. Also, if you're watching on the Twitch, hit that sub button. Is it a sub button? What do you do on Twitch?
Yeah, it's a sub. You can sub or you can follow.
Do both. Help my guy D out. Always appreciated. Good show for you guys today. We're bringing back an oldie but goodie segment. We haven't done it in months. The Truth Tellers. We break down some really big sports conspiracies. Lots of random topics in the sports world to touch on, NFL, NBA, so stick with us. And of course, we're updating the tournament. Greatest rapper of all time tournament. Round one is over. We have the results. We'll reveal them tonight. But first, D, what it do?
Happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. What it do with you? You know, how's your week, bro? You always ask me. Let me ask you first. How's your week?
Good, man. Lots of good food this week. Went out on Friday, little date night. Did some Korean food. I'm big on experimenting on the Asian food culture. I don't know how you feel about that.
I can't say that I've gone outside of just your typical Chinese food or even sushi for Japanese, but like I wouldn't be opposed to like randomly going to like a Korean location and just trying it just to see how it is, because I've never had it before.
Let me get you on this game. Rapoki. Bomb. It's like spicy ramen with rice cakes and it's fantastic. Get on that.
Now that you say that, I've tried a poke bowl, not ball. Rapoke. Okay, maybe it's a little different, but like we went somewhere. This is when we lived up north, and we went somewhere in like New Bedford a little bit, or maybe even like Boston area. And we had something like that, and I was just like, oh, it's like I want to try like the Dragon Ball Z bowl of soup. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't try that, but like maybe I just got to go to the right place.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when you get back, bro, I'll take you out to some good Asian places. And also got to fire up the smoker this week, made some pulled pork. So all the good foods have been happening. I'm a little down because back up in New England, bro, it is like 36 degrees and just misty every day. And I just hate life. But, you know, outside of that, life is good. All good vibes.
I mean, I'm hoping that I can send you guys some nice weather. It's usually like 80 degrees outside in the afternoon here. We can't break out the pool yet, but like it's warm enough to just go for a walk or the playground at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night because it's still warm out. So hopefully I can send you some warm weather. I hate that it's cold for you guys, but I don't miss it at all. I love it down here.
I had something to start with today. I was curious because, you know, I go on Facebook mostly just to kind of see my memories because, you know, now that I have a little one, she's almost three, I'll get pop-up memories from like a year ago, 2 years ago when she was little. It's cute and it brings joy to your heart. However, you don't always get those memories when you look at the memories. Mm-mm. I'm often repulsed when I get memories of 13, 10, 12 years ago when I was either in high school or college and I'm just, what the fuck was I thinking and why did I put that on the internet? Do you ever have that scenario?
Every day. This is reserved Frizz, right? But let me just tell you, back when, you know, Twitter was X was Twitter, and like you used to just tweet everything stupidly, there was an app that I could use that it would allow me to, whatever I put on Twitter, it would go to Facebook.
Oh no.
So like, yeah, it was bad. Not only that, but like I don't tweet now. I don't, or whatever it's called. I don't X, if that's the phrase for post. I repost our show, right? I rarely have individual thoughts. It's usually retweeting what we do here, retweeting the GBA league, something involving sports. So without me tweeting in years, personal shit, I have 17,800 tweets.
That's a lot of stuff, man.
So when I say I see and read some dumb shit about what I used to say and do, oh my, like if cancel culture was a thing when we were in college, the shit that I would say on the internet is like, I wouldn't have my job. I literally wouldn't have my job right now if they went back and like just searched what Frizz was talking about back in 2010 when he was drunk coming back from, you know, Birch. Like I literally wouldn't have my job.
That's a good point. You know, personal growth, if you cringe. Yeah, I'm always looking at some of the shit I posted back in the day and with so much regret. You know what I do? I scrub that shit. When it pops up, I'm going back to that. I'm like, delete that shit immediately. I saw one fun.
If it's bad enough, I'll delete. If it's like funny and I'm like, all right, cool. Like it still gives me a little chuckle. I'll keep it there because next year I'll do the same thing.
I think the most cringy thing about like the old way we used to use Facebook, at least maybe me, is I would write people's, remember you wrote on people's wall?
Yeah.
And basically it's like things you could just text. It was things you could just text someone over the phone, but you're putting it out on the internet for everyone to just see. Like what the fuck?
For the longest time, I know we're going to go down a tangent for this one, but like for the longest time, when like that whole social media thing was kicking off, I hated Facebook Messenger and I hated when people wrote on the wall. I also didn't like texting. So I was like, call me. Why are you writing this information on my wall? Why are you writing this information on my Facebook? Just call me. So yes, like there's so much of that stuff. Felt like, why am I having a conversation on Facebook when you could have literally just texted them?
For everyone to see, like, yo, what are you doing tonight? Like, just call me. Quick question. Quick question for you. You must feel the complete opposite way now. Because like when people call me, I'm like, don't call me, just text me.
Yeah. It depends on when the call. I got to be careful because I know certain people watch. it depends on when the call comes in, right? Because we got kids now. So like I can't, there are certain times where I can't afford to be on the phone for 5 minutes, because if I'm being pulled in one direction from one kid, I'm pulled in the other direction from another. So like if it's something that can be texted, hey, what are you guys up to today? Nothing. We're going grocery shopping. That can be a text. But if it's like, I want to update you with something, give me a call. If you want to have a conversation, just if it's something short, like, dude, why are we wasting this phone call?
I had one more thing about back in the day, but I'm going to save it for my closing take. I don't want to eat up too much of the fun of the show. Let's get into our quick hit segment, kind of recap the sports week. And I think we'll have a lot of talking points off of that.
Yes, sir.
Let's catch up on some of the sports headlines from the week. It's time for quick hits with my boy Trudeau.
All right, busy week in the NFL, especially for rule changes. Many of them to list off: kickoff rule change, hip drop tackle, see you later. Coaches get a third challenge, expanded replay rules. Legarius Sneed, see you later. From Kansas City, Tennessee. We are back, baby. Santa's bringing more gifts to Christmas Day games for the NFL. NBA, big news. G League Ignite, that brought to you guys like Scoot Henderson. See you later, Jonathan Kuminga. Domantas Sabonis, no one knows this, 54-game double-double streak right now. The last player to streak this long was Elvin Hayes with 55 back in 1973-74. He's going for tying that record tonight. Jontay Porter, we all know, gamble those unders, baby, caught in a big gambling scandal. NCAA Kim Mulkey is threatening the Washington Post over a story that hasn't come out yet. Juicy. And the madness continues, upsets alerts. Number 13 seed Yale over Auburn. Number 12 Grand Canyon over St. Mary's. James Madison number 12 over 5 Wisconsin. And number 14 with the big upset over John Calipari and those Kentucky Wildcats. That's your week update. It's your boy Trudeau. I am out. I had so much stuff written down that I was almost worried I wouldn't get to it. I went way too fast at the beginning.
Yeah, you definitely slowed down, but I like it. I really do like this, especially because you got the music in the background, you get the intro for
it. I'm not going to lie, dude. It is such a pressure-packed, like, 2 minutes, because I have a bajillion notes, and I'm like, I need to get this in before the music ends.
You got to, like say it almost like just ChatGPT it, and then just, like, have that be written out for you.
It's like, you ever play, like, you know, when you were a little kid, you crank the box, and the thing pops out, and the music gets faster and faster. I just...
Yes.
Yeah. I'm so nervous. But anyways, any of those things you want to touch on? Because a few I do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued for it because obviously it's the NFL. But like these rule changes that are coming up, I think they're kind of big. One of them being the kickoff. Very strange that they're going very like herky-murky when it comes to like combining what the XFL used to do. Although, granted, the XFL introduced challenges. The XFL also introduced the yellow line, like for, you know, the first downs. The sky cam. So like the NFL has pulled stuff from the XFL in the past and it's worked. So like interested to see like the kicking zone where people can return from, how that's going to be when it comes to
the rules. Do you know the rules?
Yeah. So they can kick off, and if it lands inside of the kicking zone or the 25 to the end zone, they can return it. If it ends in the end zone, it goes to the 30-yard line. Correct?
Yeah, not only that, but there's not like a running start for kickoff. So yeah, you line up, you line the entire returning blocking team 10 yards from the entire kicking team trying to tackle, and the kicking team cannot start to pursue the ball carrier until they've caught the ball. So the idea is that you're going to reduce concussions, because one of the most dangerous plays is running 20 yards, you know, part two guys full force head on head on those kickoffs. So I like it. I think it's going to produce a lot more kick returns. I think the XFL had like a 90% rate of kickoff returns in their league. So I think the NFL is probably something around 20. So we're going to see a lot more kickoff returns, which is really cool.
Would be cool, because you're gonna see people trying to make highlight plays, right? And I'm interested to see this. I'm a nerd for this type of stuff. I'm interested to see the strategy behind it when it comes to how you're not just gonna have 10 brutes just run straight. They're gonna start twisting and weaving and curling and whatnot. Mm. So it'd be cool to see what people put, I would say, as a strategy behind the way of making tackles on the kickoff now.
I was pretty excited on the NBA stuff. The G League Ignite shutting down makes sense, but I think it was a really good experiment in the fact that it kind of forced the college game to be more widely accepting of NIL, because the whole appeal of the G League Ignite originally was, hey, this is an alternative to college where you can get paid a decent amount of money. And then it kind of pushed the college game to be more open to getting the players paid. And at this point, you're going to get paid more with NIL than the G League Ignite. So it doesn't make sense for the top tier players to go to the Ignite at this point. And, going back to the XFL, NFL thing, I always think competition is a great thing in sports. When you have one league that has a monopoly on things, you might not see change. I thought the G League Ignite really helped the college game evolve.
So you might have to help me out with this one. I thought the G League Ignite was just a team in the G League. Is that not correct?
It is. So
what would separate them from the Grand Rapids, the Memphis Grand Rapids?
So most G League teams are affiliated with a larger club. So like, for example, the Boston Celtics G League affiliate is the main Red Claws. The G League Ignite was not affiliated with any NBA team. It was run by the NBA itself. So it was supposed to be viewed as an independent kind of developmental team versus the Boston Celtics, who can have two-way players and store guys, the Red Claws.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Very strange that that's the only team, though, that gets removed from the G League.
Well,
but I guess I kind of understand what you're saying, if it's being run by the league versus run by a club.
It was run by the league for a specific purpose of developing talent. So the other G League teams, there's a purpose for the NBA clubs to maybe have their guys go down and get some experience, or have two-way players and develop them that way.
Gotcha. Like a double A, triple A team.
Exactly.
For baseball. Got it.
Yeah, and the Ignite was kind of a different purpose, and it kind of ran its course. The other thing that I thought was interesting in the NBA, do you want to talk about Jonte Porter?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So if you're not aware, I'll provide the background. I mean, it was all over social media yesterday and today. So basically, Jonte Porter, he's kind of a role bench player for the Toronto Raptors, I believe. Obviously, they've been dealing with a lot of injuries, so guys like him are getting more playing time. What had happened was there were two games, one game where he played, I think, 7 minutes. He had a re-aggravation of an eye injury and left the game. And then there was another game where he said he had an illness before the game, played about 6 to 7 minutes and left the game. No, not a big deal, right? If you had under props, which again, like FanDuel, DraftKings, you can bet on anybody's props, any player that's active on the roster. Not a big deal. If you had the under props, good for you. Those unders cashed because he was expected to play like 25 minutes. He only played 6 and they all cashed. Not a problem. The problem is that these gambling companies don't like to lose money, and they're no suckers. So they have flags on irregular activity. And wouldn't you know it, the most popular bet, the most profitable bet on DraftKings those 2 days were Jonte Porter under bets. Who the fuck is betting Jonte Porter under bets unless you knew something? It wasn't your Jokic. It wasn't your LeBron. No, it was Jonte Porter, the most popular bet. So they kind of, you know, tying a few pieces together, realized something fishy is going on. They reported it to the league. I'm not saying that he did it, but he absolutely did it.
He definitely is involved in it. Maybe it wasn't him pressing the buttons and it's attached to his, you know, checking account, but it was, yo, do me a favor. I'm going to let you know I ain't playing. Put some money on me. And like you can't be this obvious for it. Cause when I read, I was like, oh, there's no way with technology nowadays that he's not involved with this shit. He purposely was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm hurt, but I'm going to put, you know, have one of my boys or one of my boys. Like, it can't be like my inner circle. It's got to be my inner circle's inner circle. Have them put money on me to be like, yo, I'm going to go ahead and out there. One of the bigger things too was points and the games that he was out. He was saying he attempted no three pointers, right? Because he had it was threes, it was assists, and it was, I think it was rebounds. And the games that he went out there, he attempted no threes, got like two assists, which was under, because I think it was three, and there was like under two rebounds, which was three. But the games that he played, he was launching. He was out there launching, like, oh, this is my game. No, don't bet me on this one because I'm going out there and I'm chucking up 15 threes. Like, it's just, you can't be that obvious for it.
No. I would say this too. I think from what I've heard, and I've experienced this before in like DraftKings, because we, you know, I have gambling and you have gambling in your state. There is a limit to what you can. I don't hit the limit, but I think you can play like $1,000 without being like a VIP or verified, extra verified. So, you know, the more you wager, you have to have different levels of verification. I'm not a baller like that. I'm not placing $1,000 bets. But what they did was these people parlayed the unders in all of his stats. So one bet of $500 was like times 10 to cash out 5,000. So they parlayed like under three pointer, under rebound, under assist, under points, like under everything. So there was definitely something going on there.
I think it's comical because it's the 12th man on the bench that's doing this type of stuff. But when he played, he's like, you know what? I'm going to go out there and get buckets. But just let these two games specifically, ow, my eye, or ow, like I'm still sick. It's just funny.
The one thing I do want to bring up as a bigger picture thing, because it's crazy the amount of people who love conspiracies, which is funny because we're going to do a conspiracy segment next. But the thing with conspiracies is that people will believe what they want to believe, even if there are factual things sitting in their face. And one thing I want to say is that there's a big narrative on social media right now where it's like the NBA has FanDuel and DraftKings all over their advertisement. And you have FanDuel on the court. Like, you're in bed with these people. And that, what did you expect introducing gambling, you know, ads to the game? This is going to happen. This is a result. This is the cause of all of this gambling propaganda. I would say that on the flip side, in fact, this is proof that it works, because guess what? They caught the motherfucker using very advanced analytic tools on the sportsbook side to identify suspicious activity and bring it to the league. The league didn't uncover it themselves. The gambling partner was like, hey, you need to look into this guy because something weird is going on. Now, the juxtaposition to that is, let's say we don't have gambling apps. Who the fuck is tracking all this stuff? Right? Gambling's still going to happen regardless of if it's legal or not. You can find a bookie in the corner of the street. You can go to Vegas and find a mob boss and pay whatever. I don't know how it would work illegally. But my point is, it's going to happen either way. And putting this stuff in the light of day and having the ability to track it makes everything much more transparent. Whereas if there are people trying to cheat the system, you're going to get called out.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been against these conspiracy theories that people think that like the leagues are rigged, NFL is rigged, and people are set to win and whatnot. Just like at the end of the day, think of the grand scheme of the billion-dollar industries, multi-billion-dollar industries, probably like borderline trillion, right? If you combine all four major sports for North American sports, baseball, hockey, basketball, and football, right? Probably borderline trillion. If one of them is caught with like producing gambling within the like fixing games, it's gonna bring down the entire sport. Yeah. Like, what would be the reason for that, for someone to take that risk, whether it's Roger Goodell or Adam Silver? You know what I'm saying? Like, just think of it. But like, people can't get outside of their 2x2 box and they're like, oh, it's fixed, it's rigged. Like, this guy was meant to go off for 200 yards because part of the script. It's like, just imagine what it would do to shareholders, to people that invest stocks into this shit, if they found out about that. Like, it would crash an entire league. Well, so remove the stupid hat that some people have on for it, because yeah, the one that you're about to put on, like, just miss me with that when people start talking about like the leagues are fixed and whatnot for it.
Yeah. And if you think about who actually controls the league, right, it's the commissioner through the owners. If anything were ever uncovered that things were fixed, those billion-dollar franchises would drop, plummet in value. Just one other thing. I'm a big proponent of...
You want to make a comment on this one before you switch it real quick?
Tim Donahue.
This one right here. This is a perfect example. Like, this was a person that was fixing games. This wasn't the league that was doing it. This was Tim Donahue and his crew that was like purposely trying to make money, and they were impacting as a crew the games. This wasn't brought down from like the league. This wasn't, let's try to get Jordan to the finals, or let's try to get Hakeem's second championship. That wasn't league mandated. This was a person that they hired without having full background checks and seeing technology wise that he happens to be betting on certain, or he happens to be influencing the results in certain games. That's different than the league being behind something to make sure that Golden State goes on a 3-championship win, or if Kansas City gets 3 in a row. Like, that's not the same thing as a referee going besides the league to do something to try to get his pockets bigger.
Plus, one other thing, just like as far as influencing games, do you think, I'm just going to use the NFL because I know the owner's a little bit more familiar. Do you think Jerry Jones would be cool with his franchise? Like, they could hand Jerry Jones a script, hey, you're going to suck and be the laughingstock for the last 10 years. These people have pride. If there was anything going on, these owners would be absolutely fucking rip shit that someone else was getting theirs and they weren't getting theirs.
Yeah, who got Bill Belichick's script? How did he get that script coming from the bum ass Giants and Browns? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it just sounds stupid.
Funny thing is, Jontay Porter, I found out today, is the brother of Michael Porter Jr. And that explains a lot, because if you know anything about Michael Porter Jr., not the jump shot, look into some of his beliefs. Big COVID conspiracy guy. So the blood runs strong in that family.
He also doesn't have an X button. He just shoots. So yeah, it would make sense that his brother, you know, when he's playing, only shoots, except for games that he's betting on. He's like, now I'm going to go ahead and pass.
I did want to say one last thing on this subject before we move on, is the idea of bringing in the gambling, making it legal, has somehow tainted the sport. I want to ask you this. Do you remember Prohibition for alcohol?
Yeah.
Do you know how that went?
I mean, I wasn't alive for it, but go ahead.
Do you know how that went?
People still drank.
And it was a fucking disaster because everything was unregulated. People were drinking moonshine that was killing everyone. It was just a complete shit show. I'm just saying, I'm pro legalizing everything, because when you put it in the light of day, you have systems in place to make sure things are not going haywire. That's all I want to say.
I mean, it's the same reason why they, you know, started to taper off Four Loko.
If there was no regulations on Four Loko, I would still be drinking that caffeinated motherfucker right now.
Oh, we wouldn't be alive right now, bro.
D, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little nervous. It's been a hot minute since we did Truth Tellers.
It certainly has.
And I don't have one conspiracy to bring to you today. I have a whopping two that I think are legitimate conspiracies that are actually happening in front of our eyes.
Okay.
Are we ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's get it.
Big media won't tell you the full story, but we will. It's time to open your third eye and hear the truth. This is the Truth Tellers with Trudeau.
That's right. I'm here to tell you what those big media companies won't. Those ESPNs, those FS1s, they won't tell you the truth like you and me will, D. D, I want to take you back. I want to take you back a couple months to a moment in time. The NBA All-Star Game. I want to take you back to, in particular, a quote from one Adam Silver.
And to the Eastern Conference All-Stars, You scored the most points. Well, congratulations.
He didn't seem happy, did he?
Sure wasn't.
Was not happy about what now?
He wasn't happy that there was no defense played in the entire game.
You scored the most points. Here you go. Congratulations. Doesn't sound like a happy commissioner. Commissioner's job in the very top of the NBA food chain. The puppet master of the league. Am I right?
Yeah.
D, I present to you some numbers. This is facts. Numbers. Data I gathered. Hand by hand. Row by row. D? Points per game across the league in the pre-All-Star game. 115.6. Points per game after the All-Star game, after Adam Silver's quote, 111.4, a drop of 4 points per game across the league. Why is that? Why would Adam Silver make those comments so angry? And then afterwards, we see a whole 4 point drops per game in the NBA. And I thought to myself, Steve, take off your tinfoil hat. You're just bugging. I said, well, maybe, you know, post All-Star break, you have more injuries. More star players are out. So maybe that's, you know, leads to the decrease in scoring. That makes sense, right, D?
It would, to an extent.
So I started looking around. Each individual team who had less points per game post to pre-All-Star game, out of the 30 NBA teams, only 6 teams had more or equal points post All-Star game. Boston Celtics, Denver Nuggets, LA Lakers, and then the last 3 make sense. Bulls, Rockets, Spurs, all horrific first half teams. So the teams where the scoring dropped are not isolated to specific teams like the Hawks, where you lost Trae Young, the Timberwolves, where you lost Karl-Anthony Towns. It's league-wide. Scores are going down. D, I think you know what I'm going to say. Adam Silver put the hit out on scoring. D, what do you think?
I understand the numbers, but how? How do you control the dropping of points? The only way that you'd be able to do that is slowing the game down because it's pace. Yeah, but hold on. So if you have numbers that have shown me that fouls or calls have gone up, whistles, because it can't be fouls. Fouls lead the free throws lead the scoring without the clock going. But it's got to be breaks in play. It's got to be more travels. It's got to be out of bounds calls. It's got to be something that changes possession without there being points scored. So how do you do that?
So there's been a noticed change in officiating post All-Star break. There was quote unquote via the Low Post podcast, because he had the head of referee and basketball operations on, that they happen to reiterate some of the rules on ownership of position. So like when an offensive player and a defensive player meets at the same time, both players have a right to that space. Mm-hmm. Whereas pre-All-Star game, they were getting heavily favored toward the offense and giving a lot of whistles. So the biggest difference pre and post All-Star break is the referees are swallowing their whistles a lot more on drives to the basket and no calls are happening.
I don't mind that at all.
But go ahead.
I want fouls to be called if it's egregious. I don't want incidental contact being called a foul.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, like I'm all for it. Look, I have no problem with the scoring in the NBA. I have no problem seeing games that are like 130 to 135. It's just it's hard to watch as a non-basketball fan. We like the game, so we'll watch it. but there won't be people that tune in to see. One of the scores that I saw a couple nights ago was like 150 to like 140. It's like that was an all-star game score, and we're talking about like a Tuesday night game. You know what I'm saying? So like that kind of shit does turn some people off. But if this is a conspiracy that like it could be true, keep it coming. Bring them scores down. 105, 110. I love that area. The Golden State 2015 area. I think that was perfect where people were trying to pace and space. I read this too. I'm glad you showed it. There was pace and space, but there was pace and space with smart shots. And I feel like we're getting into an area where people are just chucking the chuck. And it's not great. It's not the greatest of basketball because incredibly talented. Don't get me wrong. The game is more talented now than it's ever been, but there's just less like there's less finesse in specific plays. It's more of just get down the court and shoot. Like Dante DiVincenzo, I think shot like 17 threes last night.
I'm totally with you. You know, call the game the way the game should be called, and they're calling it more closely to the playoffs. I would just say that connect the dots and see how this all manifested. It was the embarrassment of the All-Star game. It was a week of media talking about all offensive, the NBA offense getting out of control. And out of nowhere, out of this, scoring goes down because referees start calling the game differently. It came from the top man. It came from Mr. Adam Silver himself, who was very, very upset, if you remember this.
And to the Eastern Conference All-Stars, you scored the most points. Well, congratulations.
That was his fuck you to the league.
That wasn't it. That sound doesn't do justice as to how pissed he looked when giving the award to Dame Lillard. Like it was Lillard that won the MVP, yes. Right? So like he was like visually pissed off. Like I have to come up here and make this stupid ass speech to give it to somebody that scored 70 points in an All-Star game. Where, you know, a couple of years ago we named it the Mamba mentality, the Kobe Bryant MVP, because like he would go out there and actually try to fucking win the game like the right way. And now we're handing it to somebody that just goes out there and scores 70 points. Like, this is a joke.
All right, let's get good
for him.
Let's get to the second one, because I feel like this is not even a conspiracy. This is gonna break in like the next week or so. Do the names Pete Rose and the Chicago Black Sox mean anything to you?
Not so much the Black Sox, but Pete Rose, yes.
Yes. Pete Rose was banned for life for betting on baseball. The Chicago Black Sox in 1918 or something, before we were born, they were caught throwing the World Series for gambling. They were in with the mob, and they threw the World Series.
And now the mob bosses are knocking on your door. Forgive my co-host.
What somebody, the fuck was that? You heard that, right?
I heard that, yeah. It sounded like somebody was knocking on your door. They're about to say, give me my money.
I feel like big media's here. The government's here. Okay, I hope everyone's okay downstairs. I should probably check on that in a minute. We're live. If I die, I love you, man.
I'll cut the show, I promise.
Now keep recording. Keep recording. Anyways, back to my original train of thought. That was weird. Both had players banned for life for gambling. D, let me ask you this. Who, in your opinion, is the biggest name in baseball right now?
Oh, that would be one Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani. Show me the money, as the bookmakers would say. D, Shohei's translator and longtime good friend was caught this week transferring $4 million to a sports book to cover gambling debt. As the story goes, he was stealing the money and covering gambling debts for that. D, if I had a really young, fun, exciting player that would revitalize my league, I sure wouldn't want anything to happen to him, would I?
Sure wouldn't.
I would find a fall guy if he got into trouble, wouldn't I?
Sure would.
D, I don't know about you, buddy. I don't have $4 million to spend, but I would say this. when I make a $1,000 credit card purchase, my Bank of America app says, hey, are you sure you spent those $1,000? You get those fraud alerts? It's kind of weird that Shohei didn't get one. It's kind of weird. Kind of weird his accountant didn't notice this either, right? He must have an accountant with all those millions and millions of dollars. It's just so weird that all this stuff happened and poor Shohei has no idea and baseball is just all confused. D, this isn't even a conspiracy. I'm taking off the tin hat. You know what happened here. You know that Shohei... Oh. It's a baseball music. I like that. Should I
play that?
I like that. But hey, man.
Carnival than baseball.
Yeah, it says charge baseball. Anywho. D, you know what happened. Shohei absolutely has a gambling problem.
Stupid.
He absolutely was betting on some sort of thing. I don't know if it was baseball. Might have been. And his good friend, who was also his translator, was the fall guy to save his career.
Yeah, I mean, shouts to having, you know, a friend that's able to take a bullet for you like that, because that's a real one. But yeah, this could get ugly. The way that they broke it down too on TV was like, this isn't just like a MLB trying to cover it over. This involves the feds. Like, they don't just stop because it's the MLB. Like, they're going to continue this like full investigation, obviously, which we say it's going to be his translator that's taking the fall for it. But if anything, like we saw what happened in Wolf of Wall Street. It's my first thought. It's like everybody's got a rat, right? Everybody's got those rat holes that they have somebody that makes bets or places money in areas that the CEOs can't. Like, all it takes is for him to make the one move stupidly where he didn't cover his bases, and he's Jordan Belfort, right? He's nabbed up out of the league. He's gone, and a promising career is ended because of gambling. So I hope it's not a Pete Rose situation, man. The kid is talented as fuck.
I got an update. The feds are not coming for me. It was my cats fighting outside the door.
Message.
They smashed into the office door. Yes, I'm aware. Thank you.
Oh, you're getting a text message on your screen. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm getting the text
message. You can turn those off.
One day you got to show me how to use technology. Hey, man, that's truth tellers. Two hard-hitting truths that I honestly feel like both of these are absolutely truthful stories.
Let's hope the second one isn't.
And the, you know, the ESPNs of the world, the FS1s, are not covering it properly. They're hiding it. But we're here to tell you the truth. So Frizz and the Grizz is all about. But let's have some fun and break down some greatest of all time rappers. So we started last week a tournament of the greatest of all time rappers. We used the Billboard Top 50 rankings to create a tournament bracket. And we had you guys, the fan, vote on Twitter. I guess it's X now. And you picked your favorites on the one-to-one matchup. So we had rappers facing off, you know, 1 versus 8, 5 versus 4, kind of a traditional March Madness style tournament. Well, round one is over, and we have a few upsets to announce. The biggest one that I could not believe, I am shocked. Our tournament number one overall seed, the rapper that Billboard Top 50 had as the greatest rapper of all time, went down in round one. That is Jay-Z getting knocked out by none other than Lil' Kim D. Can you believe it?
So I can't, but B, I 100% can, because of how it happened. So for those that were able to watch, or at least follow along with the voting for this matchup happened to give us the most votes that we got out of any other matchup for the entire tournament. If I believe it was 59 votes, can you confirm that with me?
I'll get it for you.
It's 59. Sorry, I got it. Yeah, I got the exact number. 59 votes. And see, shout out to those, and I guess a reverse shout out to those that was out here voting and bringing our viewership up. Over 1,100 views. Not a single new follower. Shame on you guys. Like, do us a solid. You know, retweet us, follow us, help us out. 1,100 people looked at this competition for this matchup. Not a single follower, you know, helped us out. I digress. But no, honestly, 59 people voted for it, with 78% going to Lil' Kim. It was the Lil' Kimites that were like, we're going to go ahead and ruin this bracket this week.
Yeah, so what happened was some Lil' Kim fan accounts had somehow stumbled upon our poll and started blasting this shit on retweet. And all the Kimettes came out and just stomped on Jay-Z, which I love. That's what the whole purpose of this tournament is. We would never put Lil' Kim ahead, but we want the people's opinion. And they said Lil' Kim is the superior rapper. Kim and Timberland, nigga, shit to yours. Special delivery to you and yours. Man. I rep the bitches, he rep the boys. Uh-huh. If you rep your hood, then make some noise. I got my eye on a guy in a orange coat. I mean, she's got skills, not Hov level, but you know, shout out Lil' Kim. She's like, who beat Purdue? Do you remember who beat Purdue last year and knocked him out of the tournament, the 1-16 matchup? That was what this feels like.
UW Whitewater, I have no idea. But yeah, it was definitely something like that.
So the other notable upset, which I don't think it's an upset personally, we had number 6 seed take out number 3 seed, DMX over Nicki Minaj, pretty handily. I think he stomped her out with 90% of the vote.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that one too much of an upset. Not so much, obviously, as Lil' Kim and Jay-Z, just because, like, I think people related more to how DMX rapped. And like we had mentioned it multiple times last week, it's going to come down to like what people look for the Jay-Z Lil' Kim. They were looking for chaos. They got it. They just wanted to just disrupt this shit, which is fine. But for the matchup like DMX and Nicki Minaj, it was who they just felt like they related to more.
And then the last couple things in the first round I wanted to mention were some clean sweeps. Lil Wayne over Method Man, 100% of the votes, clean sweep. 50 Cent over Scarface, 100% of the vote. Nas over T.I., 100% of the vote. That might be the last one. They got 100% of the vote.
Three.
What was that?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, there was only three.
So three sweeps, but there was a couple of them with like a straggler beat down with one vote. Round two is where it gets interesting, in my opinion, because you have some really, really interesting decisions to make. Lil' Kim, Ice Cube, I'm not getting excited for that. Either way, I'm not excited for either rapper to advance. I think they're going to get knocked out in the next round. Kanye Drake is where it starts to get interesting for me, because both have a solid claim to being one of the two or three best rappers of the past 15 years.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I think this is just as big as down in the West region, which we'll get to, but I think this is going to determine who's going to come out of not just like the final four, but I believe who might actually get themselves to the finals. Not on my prediction, but like with the way that, you know, Twitter will vote for it. I think you're going to see one of these winners between Kanye and Drake end up not only in the final four, but I think you're going to see one of them make it to the finals.
Yeah, let's take a quick break and throw a couple, one of each songs on there. So give me your go-to Kanye West. It's got to be some old Kanye, right? Like one of the first albums, The Dropout or something like that.
Yeah, if I'm going to go, that's a good one. If I wish you to give me a little bit more time.
Can I go with this one? Actually, you can do the Drake one, because I think this might be one of the most full, perfect albums of all time. Like one of the best albums of the past, I don't know, it's 2010, so the past 15 years. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, that album is from start to finish, absolutely fantastic. And if I have to pick one song that it really takes the cake on this one, everyone knows this one. This is a great one. I will say, like, one knock you can make on Kanye, if you're gonna take a head-to-head matchup, As far as recently is concerned, I feel like Kanye relies more heavily on features.
Nigga dead. I slapped my girl. She called the feds. I did that time and spent that bread. I'm headed home. I'm almost there. I'm on my way. Headed up the stairs. To my surprise, a nigga replacing me. I had to take him to that ghetto university.
So that's a good one. I actually prefer Monster on this album, but again, it's one of those songs that's just so heavily featured that I don't think I can just attribute to Kanye.
I mean, I'm with you on that one. If I'm gonna play one for Drake,
yeah, I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me. Don't pull up at 6 a.m. to cuddle with me. You know how I like it when you loving on me. I don't wanna die for them to miss me. Yes, I see the things that they wishing on me. Hope I got some brothers that outlive me. They gon' tell the story, shit was different with me. God's plan. God's plan.
I hope. So the reason why, I mean, this is not just his only track that he has, obviously, but like, I think this one was the get over track for him back in 2018 when he released it. It became like everybody puts out club bangers, obviously, but when like you say that you love me, I know you only call like the part that he talks about is his son. Everybody knows that line.
Yeah.
Like everybody goes like they go ham for it. So it's like that's one of those like memorable tracks that I think it might not have been his best that he's ever had. Obviously, another Drake line, best I've ever had. But it was one of his better lines that people will always remember a track that he made.
I was trying to think of like one Drake song I think of in particular. I'd probably go Forever, but again, that's a heavy feature song with Jay-Z, Eminem, and his competitor, Kanye. I will say, so each has a knock. Like Drake, people just don't like Drake because he's kind of a bitch. I'm just going to say it. Like, I'm not trying to fight Drake, but like as far as rappers go, you know, he's more of the sensitive rapper. Kanye is an absolute nutcase. So both have off the court, you know, things going on. And didn't Drake get a little creepy with like, you know, younger girls or something like that? At one point, two people were on for that.
I don't pay attention to stuff outside of what they put on for music like that. I'm sorry, I'm the wrong person to ask that type of question too.
If you had to pick, this is a tough one for me. If you had to pick who's advancing,
me personally, I'm going Drake. Not that I don't like or love, you know, College Dropout as an album for Kanye. But I think this one would be longevity over impact. And Kanye has a following, like, don't get me wrong. But Kanye's music has, like you mentioned, has kind of declined over the years. Drake, I would say, is either consistent or has gotten better. He's related to times more as music has evolved, showing that he's got a bigger and better catalog. Kanye may have more haymakers, but Drake might be out there doing a Floyd Mayweather, hitting you with jabs and finesse every single time he puts music out there.
That's fair. The next matchup in the South region, this is, again, like a 2 versus a 6, but I think this could go either way. And Lil Wayne versus DMX, definitely two very different conflicting styles. Like for me, Lil Wayne brings me back more to high school and just with like bangers and hits, whereas DMX, again, is more of like a hardcore, like slit your throat type of rapper. I don't know, D. I think you probably have some love for both of them. Is there a preference for you there?
I know, you know, it took me a while to kind of relate to the music at first. I think it's just because I was so against it because I'm stuck in my ways with the music that I listen to. But I'm catering more towards Wayne on this one. I think Young Money grew on me, like when it came to like them just being able to put out great music. And like you were talking about timelines, that's all we heard in college was Lil Wayne. All we heard was Young Money type songs. And like I can every time I hear a Lil Wayne song, I can remember where I was when it came out. And it's like when Fireman comes out, we were in high school. So it's like Duffel Bag Boy, we were in middle school going to high school. So it's like these are old school tracks, obviously, Hell yeah, fucking right. We were in college. So like a whole bunch of different tracks that I'm like, damn, and like I could relate to this. We were at 908, or you know, we were at Kirby's, or we were down in the Dell. Like it just puts you in certain places where DMX, I was only listening to it right before I got on the football field. Like that was, I wasn't, you know, washing dishes listening to DMX.
Shout out Bar 908. Yeah, I think Lil Wayne probably advances. The only thing that might save DMX is like the tragic passing of him a couple years ago. Is a lot of love. I don't want to say nostalgia, but like, you know, if someone passes away, you have to feel more fondly for them. The next matchup, 50 Cent versus Kendrick Lamar in our South region, 5-seed 50 Cent versus 1-seed Kendrick, will be interesting to me because 50 Cent was very, very strong in the first round. He had, I think he had
a sweep
with 10 votes, which again, 10 was like our average amount of votes per poll question. Again, if you want to be part of this tournament, check us out on X at Frizz and Grizz, one word. So I think for me, 50 Cent versus Kendrick, it's more of, do you feel more nostalgia for the past, or are you living in the present with, I wouldn't say arguably, I would say undoubtedly the number one rapper at this moment, as far as at their peak.
Yeah, Kendrick is absolutely incredible right now. Truly well-deserved one seed. I already told you who I'm running with, and it's 50 for me. The only reason why I would say 50 gets a leg up on this is at its height, if you want to go track for track or album for album, the Get Rich or Die Trying album for 50 Cent is better than anything that Kendrick has put out. Kendrick has more songs, longevity. He has related to this era of music or music listener more than 50 Ken. Obviously, he's a producer now, but when 50's Get Rich or Die Trying came out, everybody was wearing a backwards New York hat. Everybody had white tank tops with, you know, with black jeans on and Timberland boots. Like that was like he changed like the game with how people are going to respond to rap music back in the early 2000s. So for me, I think it's an upset. I think 50 takes over Kendrick, but I wouldn't be surprised if Kendrick and his following takes it just based off of like him just being more recent.
Yeah, but with Kendrick, I'm looking at his catalog. He has To Pimp a Butterfly. Was it To Pimp a Butterfly? No, Good Kid, Mad City, 2012. So that's, we're looking at 13 years of really high level music. And I mean, come on, man, he's got absolute bangers, like recent bangers. Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me.
Yeah, yeah. I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances. Vanessa nigga with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this. Parmesan with my accountant lips, in fact I'm down in this. You say with my boobay tastes like Kool-Aid for the analyst. Girl, I can buy your Westie world with my base stuff. Ooh, that pussy good, won't you sit it on my taste buds? I get way too petty, won't you let me do the extras? Pull up on your block and break it down, we playing Tetris. AM to the PM, PM to the AM phone. Out your per diem, you just gotta hate them funk. If I quit your BM, I still rock Mercedes funk. If I quit this season, I still be the greatest funk.
My left stroke just went viral. Woo!
Yeah, it's 50, aka Ferrari F50. Break it down. I got a lot of living to do before I die, and I ain't got time to waste. Let's make it.
I will say this. So 50 has a better single album.
Yes.
And Get Rich or Die Trying. But I'm looking at his albums chronologically. He only has like 4 years of actually making high level music, whereas Kendrick is 13 years plus at like, and still trending up as like an apex rapper.
So because I like to relate everything to sports, how I would relate this one is, 50 Cent is Bo Jackson, Kendrick Lamar is Barry Sanders.
I like that.
Bo Jackson, if he stayed healthy, would have been the best running back in the would have been the best football player in the history of football. But he had six great, absolutely stupid, dumb years in football, and then he got injured, right? Kendrick he is putting out record after record after record, putting out great music for a very long time. And Barry Sanders did the same thing, right? He played until he couldn't play anymore. And we retired. You can even call him maybe Emmitt Smith, right? But I think those 6 years or those two albums, Get Rich or Die Trying and Hustler's Ambition, that 50 Cent put out is just ridiculous, bro. Like, In the Club, Many Men, 21 Questions. Like, there's just so many tracks. Wankster's not even on that album. Wankster's on his first album. But, like, there's just so many tracks that are memorable for that time frame.
I think it's going to come down to the who votes. If it's if it's the rap hipsters, you know, new age, very hip about, like, what's pop and trending now, Kendrick smokes 50. But if we get a lot of nostalgia, older heads voting, I think I could see the upset happening for sure.
Absolutely.
Nas versus Missy Elliott. I think Nas will win. Shout outs to Missy Elliott. She's awesome. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'd be somewhat surprised if Missy Elliott pulls the upset. I would not lose my mind here. Do you think there's any way she pulls it up?
No, I think there's some cool nostalgia behind, like, I know there were a couple of tracks that you played last week, especially when she teams up with Timbaland. Some cool tracks that she put out, and she could rap with the best of them. I just think Nas holds more weight, no pun intended, when it comes to just like the music that he put out in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously been very, very quiet since, a track here and there, but he's even got like diss tracks, you know, with Ether when he went after somebody that got kicked out of the tournament already. So it's good to see he's, you know, still alive against T.I., but I don't think this is even a contest against Missy Elliott.
Yeah, I think this is probably our easiest matchup in the second round, not advancing. Mm-hmm. The next one is going to be really challenging. I have no idea where this is going to go. So we have number 2 seed Eminem taking on number 3 seed Andre 3000 of Outkast. I could see either winning. I could see either winning and advancing to the final. Like, both are that talented. I don't know, man. Do you have... I think I would lead Eminem just because I like Eminem's music. It's more of a personal thing, but I love Outkast. And again, I think last week I said, for me, it's hard to go with Andre over Eminem because how much do we attribute Outkast to Andre versus the larger group?
So Andre, outside of Outkast, is still...
He's still good.
Ridiculous. Yeah. His features that he has, I think, what is it, one of his best ones, I don't know if you could pull it, but it's International Players Anthem. Like, you're going to have to find his verse because it's not his song. But like that, the lines that he has in that song are ridiculous. But if we're going to talk about top dogs, which I'm surprised he's a 2 seed, it's Eminem, right? Like, the joke, the greatest white rapper of all time. Like, it ain't even about color. He might be one of the best rappers of all time. And he helped put dudes on the map like a 50 Cent. So I think this is the second toughest competition. Sorry, second toughest matchup we have. I don't know. If I had to vote right now, I think I'd push until, you know, right before the end of the tournament. Sorry, end of the voting.
Yeah, one criticism I've heard of Eminem from someone who's kind of one of those rap, what was the word I used before? Hoity-toity rap. Was it for hipster, rap hipster?
Yes, you use hipster.
Yeah, so like the Eminem's lines in raps don't hold up today. Like, they're very kind of whiny, like teenage angsty almost. You know, it's always kind of whiny about his wife, his relationship, and things of that nature. And like some of his songs just don't meet today's standards. Like, people would hear him for the first time today and be like, this is weird. And I think it meant a lot more back in the day because he was kind of the counterculture to the boy band era. And mm-hmm. it kind of played off perfectly for him. Whereas Andre 3000, Outkast, there's still jams today. Like, nothing has changed about how you would view Andre 3000's rapping. So that might be one thing that could count against Eminem. But I think a lot of people will just view it as how they viewed Eminem growing up when they make this decision.
Yes, then I don't think you're going to put in Relapse and Revive, I think were the two albums that he had. So yeah, I would, again, man, I don't know. I don't know if you go with the Slim Shady LP when it comes to album wise. I'm leaning, just because of relation to it, I'm leaning Andre, but I I could see Eminem taking it. If you gun to the head having to vote, I'm gonna say I'm voting Andre on this one.
Yeah, I think I would gun to the head go opposite, but it's not wrong either way. I would rather just flip a coin. So
exactly.
Either just way,
like, all right, yeah, I'm satisfied with either one.
Either way, we're gonna be bummed we lose one of these rappers here. Then Notorious B.I.G. Snoop. I don't feel super strongly about this matchup. I'm not a big Notorious B.I.G. guy. And Snoop's fun. He's got some bangers. We should play some Snoop, actually.
Go ahead.
But I don't view Snoop as, like, I don't know. Like, he's just a chill, fun rapper. He's not, I don't know. A lot of his songs don't really hit like other rappers do.
So you're bugging when you say that, because I have, let me actually take this one.
Am I listening to the wrong Snoop?
Let me see what you got.
I mean, this is the song I always associate with Snoop. I guess my point is his vibe is like, maybe I'm listening to the wrong Snoop. I've always took Snoop's vibe as like, I'm partying, I'm having a good time, LA, sunshine, like, let's get high.
Well, he does do that. He definitely does that. This is probably, to me, I think,
got one
of the best tracks he has. He goes in on this one.
From the depths of the sea, back to the black Snoop Doggy Dog, funky at the dot. Went solo on their ass, but it's still the same. Long Beach is the spot where I serve my cane. Follow me, but don't lose your grip. 9 tricks ain't they is there for me to fuck up shit. So I ain't holding nuts back, and motherfucker, I got 5 on the 20 sack. It's like that, and that matter of fact.
Rat-a-tat-tat.
Cause I never hesitate to put a nigga on his back.
Yeah, so keep out the manuscript. You see that it's a must we drop.
What's my motherfucking name? Yeah, so that
I love
that
Snoop.
Me, yes, I think I can listen to this track at any point. Like, I literally will walk, like, after work, I'll walk into, you know, the kitchen and just getting ready to do the dishes or start cooking. I'm like, Alexa, play Snoop Dogg, What's My Name? Like, this is a go-to song. So I think he takes this one over Big.
Let's hear a Big song first. So
you gotta open your catalog a little bit more if you hadn't heard that song.
No, before. I've heard that before. It just didn't come to mind. It's not like when I hear Snoop, I think of Gin and Juice.
Gotcha.
First song. Let's just throw a Notorious B.I.G. song to kind of hear both and make a decision as a group.
Fuck all you hoes. Get a grip, motherfucker.
Yeah.
This is a fucking banger, by the way.
Absolutely.
All the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling in front, that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. So good, and all the niggas in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's all good, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da-ha, you never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner?
It's such a good song.
Absolutely.
I think for me, I think you could go either way between Snoop and Big. For me, my vibe personally is more Snoop. I like Snoop. It's more like fun, upbeat party. You know, Notorious Big's a little more serious, and he just doesn't resonate with me. I would go Snoop, but if B.I.G. advance, totally understand.
The reason why I would choose Snoop over Big is just because I think Big's run was short-lived. He's got, you know, a couple of good tracks. I'm also West Coast over East Coast, unfortunately. I'm Pac over Big all day, so, like, that might be personal bias. But I think he's got radio songs. And yes, he's got 10 Crack Commandments. Don't get me wrong. He's got songs that, like, were actual hard rap songs. But he's got a bunch of tracks that people remember because of radio. And Snoop shit isn't on the radio because it's actual rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not very many. So outside of, like, his pop music that he had, like, later in his career, he, his, when he, Doggy Style, that album, not a single track is on the radio. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's just not a thing. So that's the reason why, if we're going to go when it comes to rap skills, I think Snoop's a little bit better.
Here's one thing each have in their card, like their ace in their sleeve. With DMX, Notorious B.I.G. has that RIP factor, right? We all think of him as a beloved RIP figure. Mm-hmm. Snoop also beloved because his late career renaissance as just a lovable weed smoking man, you know, him with Martha Stewart doing commercials with Eli Martha, Manning and yep. stuff. Like, everyone loves Snoop. You can't hate Snoop.
Very true. No, I'm with you on that one. I think we'll see. I'm a believer in Snoop over Big, but who knows what hits, man. 90s music was different.
I'm going Snoop. And the last matchup that we need to touch on this second round, number one seed Tupac, number four seed J. Cole. Last week I said I would take J. Cole over Tupac. I apologize. I listened to this song once and said, nah, I was so wrong.
I ain't Suck got ass. No motherfucker. So I friend. Fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker. West Side, bad boy Take killers. You know who the realest is, niggas. We bring it to
Before I want to play this one more time.
Wake up everybody in the house.
I want to play this one more time. I'm going to keep playing it. But like, this song by Tupac is basically him taking out a machine gun and just fucking lighting up everybody in the rap game, everyone who he hates, and just fucking like a fucking surgeon just taking everybody out. He is, like, as far as diss tracks go,
the best.
This is, Tupac was the best, and this is by far one of the best diss tracks of all time. I'll play it one more time.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't Suck got ass. No motherfucker. So I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker. West Side, bad boy killers. You know who the realest is, niggas. We bring it to First off, fuck your bitch
in the click you claim.
West Side, when we ride, come equipped with game. You claim to be a player, but I fucked your wife. We bust on bad boys, niggas fuck for life. Plus, Puffy trying to see me weak, hearts I rip. Biggie Smalls and Junior Mafia, some mark ass bitches. We keep on coming while we running for your juice. Steady gunna keep on busting at the fools. You know the rules, Lil Caesar. Go ask your homie how I leave you. Cut your young ass up, leave you in pieces. Now be deceased. Lil Kim, don't fuck around with real G's. Quick to snatch your ugly ass off the streets. So fuck peace. I let them niggas know it's on for life. Don't let the West Side ride the night. Bad boy murdered on wax and kill. Fuck with me and get your cats peeled. You know, see, grab your blocks when you see Tupac. Call the cops when you see Tupac.
I love this part. He's just like, you know, the rest of you ain't fucking worth it. My homie Ticks here, this. Oh my God. I think we should just put Tupac in the championship just for this one song alone.
I mean, yes, catalog wise, he's up there. He's up there as top of all time.
And how many other rappers have a single with Elton John? Like, he has range. He doesn't just go for rap battles like slit in your throat. Like, he can do a wide range of things. Changes, ghetto gospel. It's like he can kill you and then show you love and the struggle at the same time.
So this is the effect of what I thought Jay-Z would have had: singer, songwriter, producer, rapper, actor. All of those things that, like, that's what, yes, we're talking about best rapper of all time, but it's the full package. And Pac was able to do that. Pac could tell a story. He could rap with the best of them. He could be soft and have, you know, changes as a song. Obviously, like, he's got a full range of, I would say, music that he can hit. No matter what type of music you're actually listening for, he can do all of them. You know, RIP, obviously.
And it sucks because I love J. Cole, but I think it's pretty obvious that Tupac will win this matchup. But I wouldn't be surprised. Like, J. Cole fans are very passionate. If some of his fans catch word of this and it starts spreading around, but yeah, it should be fun. We could have a Notorious Big Tupac semifinal, which would be great. Which would be absolutely great.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. It's always meant for. I think you set the shit up on purpose for it to be Pac versus Big at some point. But yeah, I said upset J. Cole, so I gotta stick with it. I just believe Pac is just he's better. I just think you're gonna see an upset. That's what I think is gonna happen.
Any given Sunday, man. Any given Absolutely. Sunday. So this would be fun. You guys watching or listening, keep contributing to this tournament. We're going to put out polls next week at Frizz and Grizz on X. We'll have all the head-to-head matchups that you can vote. The formatting is whoever has the most votes advance. The only caveat is that in the event of a tie, the higher seed will advance by default.
Yep.
We have to figure out a way that's unbiased to advance the tournament if that happens. So that's how we're doing it.
We mean, oh, we had to. Sorry. You were just explaining it. Sorry. I thought you were saying we need to. I was like, we already did, but go ahead. It's late. I'm confused.
It's all right, man. It's been a long day. I had fucking cats fighting outside my door, and I thought that was the cops raiding me. So it's been a weird episode. So we'll get off the tournament now. We'll keep updating you guys throughout the week. So follow us on Twitter. But let's get to closing takes.
The show is coming to an end. But first, it's time to get to anything we've missed. It's closing time. One segment, two takes. Knuckle.
It's that time of the show where it's time to get the fuck out of here. But first, well, we have a animals everywhere. Dogs are coming in your podcast room. I got cats attacking my door. Last thing.
Like, headbutt me.
Just want some loving. It's our chance to get off anything we haven't got to touch on during the show. It can be sports related, pop culture, whatever you want to do. I like to go a little wacky. It's been kind of my theme the past couple weeks. I wanted to bring to you an event that happened in Paris, France, this past Sunday. The event is called... Did I not write it down? What a dumbass.
Of course not.
Of course. It's an event where servers, you know, waiters and such, they're dressed up in full attire. They do a 1.2-mile race holding a tray with a croissant, a full glass of water, and a cup of coffee. They have to speed walk their ass 1.2 miles without spilling anything. First to the finish line wins the race. I just wanted to bring this as a proposal to you. Not that we do this, but summer is approaching. And you know what happens in summer?
People eat a lot.
Absolutely nothing in the sports world. I want an episode where we do wacky sporting events like the cheese wheel down the hill. I want an episode of just talking about the most random sort of sporting events. I want the ESPN Ocho to be Frizz and Grizz the Ocho in summer for one episode only.
I'm all for it. We could get in some bocce ball. We can get into some, you know, badminton if they have it on the beach. Like anything that's weird, I'm all for it.
Yeah. And shout out to all those waiters racing 1.4 miles or 1.2 miles. Hopefully no one spilled coffee on themselves.
Our walking is incredible.
What do you got for me?
So I got one that's sports related, but kind of just lighthearted so we can get up out of here the right way. I want to give a big shout to the Carolinas. I think this one is going to come up more and more in the house as we get older, because we have two girls, two princesses upstairs sleeping, and we're trying to get to figure out where they're going to go to school, right? I'm always going to say they're going to go to LSU, but they're not going to go to LSU. They're going to go somewhere else, obviously. It's state. It's Duke. It's North Carolina.
Not Duke.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. The reason why I say this is a big shout to the Carolinas, because Sweet 16 obviously is here for men's and women's basketball. Duke's men's and women's team have made it. This is incredible. It's good to see that both of the teams, both sides have made it to the Sweet 16. North Carolina State's men's basketball team has made it to the Sweet 16. And North Carolina's men's basketball team has made it to Sweet 16. And if we want to give a shout out to the little brother, South Carolina, Clemson is also there. So for the Carolinas to have eight teams in the Sweet 16, you know, around tournament time, I think that's incredible. It shows that basketball is starting to grow substantially. Not that it hasn't, but now that you have NC State and Clemson being like big players in tournaments, this could be a cool little area for growing basketball, men and women wise. So it should be fun. So I wanted to give a big shout out to those that are participating, especially the dude that's like 27 years old playing for North Carolina.
Rolando Bacot.
Yeah, I looked. I was like, he could be a good Laker. And then I looked him up. I was like, good God, he's like 27 years old. He's been in college for 10 years. So maybe he won't be a good Laker.
I saw the funniest stat about North Carolina men's basketball. Their average age of all their players is older than the Oklahoma City Thunder's average age.
Yeah, I did see that too.
That's amazing.
Like by like 0.05 years, something like that. A couple months. Crazy.
I'll give you a couple years in North Carolina, and you're going to learn to hate Duke. You can't like Duke, man.
I think I'm catering more towards NC. I really like the more that I'm just here involved with it. I think I'm catering more towards liking. Well, I like Hubie Davis. I think it was a great hire for North Carolina basketball. He was an analyst and he made really good points. So it was good to see him get the job for North Carolina after Roy Williams. So I think I'm catering more towards the light blue when I was all JJ Redick. I was a big fan of JJ Redick, Jay Williams, you know, I can't remember the dude that elbowed Tyler Hansborough, but like Sheldon Williams, like that group, Chris Duhon. I was a big fan of those guys, that group of basketball players. But I think the older that I get and the more that I'm initiated into this area, I'm like, I'm kind of catering more towards the light blue and maybe even NC State over Duke. It just seems like everybody in Durham complains about it.
Everyone hates Duke. That's kind of the theme because they're, you know, they're pretentious. You know, you get your Grayson Allens over there.
Probably like $70,000 a year to go to that school too.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Good show today, D. Lots of fun. Glad we could update the tournament. I'm very excited to see what this week has in store for us as far as who advances and who is knocked out. But before we get out of here, D, get the people out right. Tell them all they need to know.
What'd you say?
Tell them all they need to know.
Oh, okay. What I will say is when we get up out of here, you can find us on all of our socials, right? The website's at the bottom, frizzandthegrizz.com. You see that we're live on Twitch. We're live on YouTube. We're live on Facebook. Those are three platforms that you can find us. You can also hit us up on the X. That's where you're going to be able to participate in the best rapper of all time. Make sure that when you guys see us and find us, like, rate, review, subscribe, whatever it is to make this show get bigger and better. We've gone past the year. We're coming up on episode 100 not too long from now. So it's really cool that we're able to bring this to you guys as much as we have been. That being said, when we getting up out of here, I'm going to steal a line from my guy, Pat McAfee, because I think it's an incredible line. We've seen some shit happen in the last 24 hours up in Baltimore. Our thoughts and prayers still go to anybody that was involved in that bridge crashing. Be a friend, save a friend, talk to somebody that might be in need of help. Make sure that you guys take care of y'all mentals. Make sure with the summertime coming, y'all take care of y'all physicals. Take care of y'all chicken. Take care of y'all children. And we will catch y'all on the rebound.
Hey, they got a website that you can hire girlfriends for the day.